Our last speaker on the panel is Dr. Richard Levins. Dr. Levins has long been a mentor and teacher for many of us. I also have been one of the people who was affected in my early training at reading material and listening to him speak. It's interesting that he started out as a tropical farmer and labor organizer turned ecologist, and he's worked in agriculture and public health ecology and science development. He teaches human ecology here at the Harvard School of Public Health.
You already know about the tobacco business. You've heard about Firestone Brimstone and suppressing information about the dangers of their tires. You've heard about asbestos and their defense of asbestos in the lung. You've heard about Ralph Nader's struggles about automobile safety and the denials by the agricultural chemical industry that their products would be potentially harmful. So I'd like to take a step backward, squint, and welcome you to the world of the KMOs, the knowledge marketing organizations, where science is increasingly directly a commodity. Now, it seems obvious and not a very profound thing to say, but that has important consequences, because a commodity is something which is produced for the purpose of making money by marketing it. And this could be done in a number of ways. Some of it is done directly in industry to develop and defend their own products. Some of it is carried out in government departments and then licensed to industry. Some of it through grants to universities. Scientific publishing is increasingly in the hands of a small number of private publishers. And some of these produce journals, like one of the Elsevier journals, which has a subscription price of about $1,200 a year. So it's clearly aimed at a small group of industries rather than at the scientific community. Educational publishing at present is controlled by about four major conglomerates. Universities are actively seeking closer and more intimate ties with business. I recently saw on the web something about a BU department, Boston University, where they talked about the links of their programs to other universities. There are about half a dozen there. And then a long list of industries that they're linked with, particular corporations. So now, why is this happening? It's basically the Willie Sutton phenomenon. The bank robber, Willie Sutton, explained that he robbed banks because that was where the money is. So as funding from public sources become more and more difficult, there's a greater and greater pressure to go to private industry and to accept the dangers. Now, the universities have done a lot of thinking about how to avoid this danger, about how to maintain the objectivity of science. I think, however, that they've done it in too narrow a way. The big problem is not the relationship of a particular researcher with a particular company, but of the research community as a whole with the corporate world. The corporate world begins to set the agendas. After all, they're going to hire the graduates, so we have to train them to do the work for the agenda that the corporations have. Now, not all knowledge is equally turnable into marketable commodities. If there's a disease, let's say the late blight of tomatoes, well, let's invent a fungicide that we could sell to farmers every year. Monsanto is not going to provide funding for a program which says, plant beans under your tomatoes, and that'll interrupt the splashing of spores from the rain onto the tomatoes' leaves. So what happens then is that we develop a pattern of knowledge and ignorance in our education, in our scientific journals, and it looks as if this is dictated by nature. So that when the chemical industry praises their achievements, they compare using their products to doing nothing at all, rather than examining the world of alternatives. Now, a commodity is made for profit, but this means that something is not profitable, it will not be made. And this gives you the pattern of under and over development of research. The search for molecules becomes the paradigm for understanding the world, and we have the current obsession with the Genome Project, which is really a continuation of Linnaeus's 18th century project of describing what is it that we have, rather than getting into the questions of how things work and how do they interact. It seems to be more profitable to examine, let's see if we can find a gene for cirrhosis, instead of tracing the relationship between a recession, unemployment, depression, and alcohol consumption. A second consequence of the commodity form of science is competition. the hiding of proprietary information in order to patent in a hurry, therefore the reluctance of scientists to share information, either because they're worrying about getting the patent or because the terms of their grant prevent them from doing so. So science is no longer public knowledge. Third, it leads to a whole strategy of protecting a commodity from criticism. Law firms, legislative lobbying, hired science, research sponsorship, sponsoring of candidates for public office, all of this contributes to protecting commodities from criticism. Not forever, but simply delaying, because part of the cost-benefit of analysis in industry is to figure how long can we delay the removal of this product from the market until it becomes too costly because of litigation. Next, there's the infiltration into universities where industry is trying to train its own employees, its labor force of the future. So we're not training broad scientists anymore who can look at the whole of living nature. We're not asking the question, what might be the best way of reducing the prevalence of cancer, but rather what drug might we be able to invent in order to treat patients with cancer. So we have the rush to patent first means exaggerating claims about the beneficial effects of something and belittling any acknowledgement of potential harm, hiding, denying, getting lawyers to duck liability, and so forth. The diverse impact on intellectual content of science is also there less visibly. For instance, suppose we did a study which showed that our best guess is that a particular compound increases the danger of cancer by 50%. But there's a margin of error. It's also possible that it has no effect at all or that it triples the risk of cancer. This would be interpreted as saying the null hypothesis that there is no effect is compatible with the data and then would be translated into the press saying scientists have found that the chemical is harmless. So we have traditions of statistical analysis, perfectly legitimate within the history of statistics, that work in a biased way, which makes the threat to profit more important than the threat to people. This leads then also to a fractionization, a fragmentation of scientific knowledge within specializations, within which scientists would resent the invasion of anybody from outside their discipline, and they, in turn, would be afraid of stepping on anybody else's toes. So we don't see the whole, and we have a pattern of increasing rationality in the small at the level of the laboratory bench, along with increased irrationality at the level of the scientific enterprise as a whole. And this is not a matter of particularly sleazy lawyers or public relations experts conspiring to kill children, but simply sound business practice. So the conflict of interest is not between the individual scientist and the particular corporation, but between science and the corporate world. So what we can do about it? First of all, I think we need publicly funded, stable research support that is not accessible to the pressures of industry or government agencies influenced by industry. Next, I would think that we need a frank partisanship. We recognize that we are not neutral, that our concern in public health is protecting people, whereas our adversaries always describe it in terms of feeding the hungry or protecting their workers or something else benevolent. And I've never heard an industry spokesman say, no, this regulation is bad because it would reduce the dividends that we give to our shareholders. Next, we need a democratization of science in several different ways. In the recruitment of science, every time the doors of science have been opened to a new segment previously excluded, the science has been transformed. Primatology and animal behavior was transformed by the admission of women. Sickle cell anemia became a medical issue as against an anthropological curiosity when the Black Panther Party started visiting the biology department at the University of Chicago. Thanks. Next, the linking of professional and non-professional inputs to science. There's an awful lot of knowledge out there in people's experience, and some of the best occupational research has been done by a collaboration of the union representing workers in an industry with scientists, where there's a combination of the detailed, intimate knowledge that people have of their circumstances and the general scientific and comparative knowledge that requires a certain distance. We need a broadening of the scope of science from the increasingly narrow fragmentation to transdisciplinary work that makes a problem big enough so that an answer will fit, instead of reducing the problem smaller and smaller to finish the work within the terms of a grant. And we need the active participation of labor in determining the conditions of their own work, in influencing the choices that are made and what is produced, how it is produced, and what protection is necessary. So the conflict of interest between science and the corporate world requires a restructuring about the way we think of our own activity. And this requires science to be as reflective of its own history and the influences on it as we would require of any other field, understanding that the agenda of science is not dictated by nature, but by the structure of the knowledge industry. And in that way, we can make choices. Is their agenda really our agenda? What are the questions that ought to be asked instead of the questions that are being asked? What are the alternatives to the present fashions? And in that way, then, I think that we could have a science which really does serve the community. Thank you.